life-changing experience. Are you ready to renew your mind?
Welcome to A Life-Changing Experience with Overseer Dorothy McGuire, the pastor of Life-Changing Church Ministries in Charlotte, North Carolina. The Bible says in Romans 12, verse 2, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." This broadcast is designed to renew minds and change lives through the Word of God. So let us join Overseer McGuire as she delivers us a transforming message.
Are you ready for a life-changing experience? Are you ready to renew your mind?
Hallelujah. Let's turn to the book of Acts, the 8th chapter, beginning at the 26th verse, and we're going to read down to the 30th. Praise God. I got to tell you that there is nothing like the Word of God. Elder Harrison is going to read. Amen.
Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 30, and I'm reading from the New King James. 26 reads, "Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go to the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of Ethiopians, who had charge of her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near, overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who would declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth."
Amen. Praise God. You may be seated in the presence of God. Father, we bless you this morning and we magnify you for all that you've done and that you shall do. We thank you for the visitation of your Holy Spirit in this place. Lord, we thank you right now that you have impregnated me with this word and that you will give me the strength to deliver it under the unction of your Holy Ghost. And so we thank you right now, God, that there will be people who will receive and will be delivered, set free, God, today. And we love you, God, and we just magnify your wonderful name. We pray this prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. This is a passage of scripture that fits right in with what's happening this new year. Amen. And I want to talk to you about a divine detour, but still on time. Amen. The word detour is not always a pleasant word sometimes when you're driving along and you're trying to get to where you need to go. And they say detour. It's a roundabout way to reach a destination. You're going to reach it, but you're not going to go the way that you're used to going. A deviation from a main course of action. And they don't always feel good, I got to tell you, because it takes us out of the normal way. It takes us away from a path that we feel we could get there faster. But I don't know about you, but there have been many times that I've had to detour, but it was better that I detoured than to face what I would have faced. Amen. It is sometimes a pain in the neck, but it can be a blessing to someone else. Your detour is not always to bless you. It can bless someone else. It may may even be a blessing to even you. But in the natural realm, we consider a detour a nuisance, not realizing that every detour in our lives happens for a reason. Plans are made to be broken. And that's why when you plan something, you need to always look that there may be something that will stop that plan. They're made to be broken. The only one that can plan and not break it is the Lord. And some of our plans do not materialize because God did not ordain it to occur. And sometimes we get upset and we're mad, but God did not plan it. And so therefore, he might decide to break it himself. Amen? And some of our plans that we make are not of God. So by God stopping the plan we choose, we could literally be saving our lives. Detour signs that put up in advance to warn travelers that there is no through passage ahead. Now, you can keep going on if you want to, but you might end up over a bridge or a cliff somewhere because the sign tells you no through passage, detour here. But then there are those who don't want to detour because they just want to do it their way. Do y'all hear me? But if you look in the movies, I don't know, Batman and all of those guys, when they're chasing someone, the bad guys seem to keep going when the bridge is out. And what happens? They go over the bridge and they drown. Why? Because they did not adhere to the detour sign. We sometimes seem to be in a hurry all the time and cannot seem to deviate from places God is telling us to go or leave. God tells us to leave places at times, but it's something that we want to hold on to. We just don't want to detour from that. Some places in our lives can lead to a dead-end street or a washed-out bridge that takes us out. Now, this happens when we see the detour sign and ignore it. Let me tell you, all of us know when we need to detour from something. There's a feeling that you get that I need to stop this. My life has to change this year. I've got to stop doing this. But guess what? If you keep saying it and you keep doing it, one day it's going to run out. But God gives us all opportunity to stop whatever it is that we need to stop. So when God gives us a word or a command to detour from it, it's usually a detour. It's not for you, but it's for somebody else. Ministry is not for us to receive the benefits all the time, but it's for the brokenhearted, the downtrodden, the persecuted, and the heavy laden. It is not always for us to get the benefits. That's why I have a problem when we have leaders that are preaching the word of God and they won't preach the real word, but they will spruce it up to make people happy. That's not helping them. That's helping them become an enabler. You enable people when you don't tell them the truth. Hallelujah. I'd rather you be mad with me than God. And even though you may fit all of the above categories yourself, it's not about you. You might be the one that's heavy laden. You may be the one that's downtrodden. But still, it's not a ministry is still not about you. If you do what God said, he'll take care of you. You have to go where God wants us to go. Life can be wonderful at times, and your season is working for you. But lives are being changed through the spoken word of God. Folks seem like they're getting it, and you're feeling like you're headed down a clear, straight road. I don't know about you, but there be times when I feel like I got this. I got it going on right now. This is wonderful. And all of a sudden, God will say, wait a minute. I need you to take another route. I need you to do it this way. I don't need you to do it that way. But what is God saying? God is saying, I'm sending you another way, but you're going to still be right on schedule. So in this 2015, some of your lives are going to have a divine detour. Do y'all hear me? This year, some of your lives are going to have a divine detour. Your path will be changed. The way you traveled last year will no longer be available to you. You ought to get happy. Some of y'all ought to get happy on that one. The path that you traveled last year is not going to be available to you. You're going to want to take the path, but it's not going to be available to you. Look at the parable of the prodigal son who left a home one way, but he came back another way. He was belligerent, disobedient to his father, stubborn, and a Mr. Know-it-all. I don't know if any of y'all know anybody like that, but I know some young folk that are kind of like that, but they're not here in Life Changing Church. But his return home was much different when he came back, because he left one way, but he got detoured. He thought what he thought was going to make him happy certainly did not. So after he fell on his backside and ended up in a pig pen, did he decide that he wanted to come back home and do it God's way? Just this past week, we, Life Changing Church, took a detour from our original plan of soup, socks, and blanket day, scheduled for January the 24th here at Life Changing. And it's scheduled. But Wednesday night, it was cold Wednesday night. It was freezing. It was the coldest day of the year. And so here we're saying, yes, we've got this day planned, but what's going to happen now? Folk need some help right now. So what did these wonderful evangelistic missionaries do? They got up, went out and to the trenches, bus stations, all around, and found the people who needed blankets, who needed socks, and gave them out. Baby, that was on Facebook. Thank you for putting that on Facebook. Amen. Thank you for doing that. That they were out there finding these people. Tell somebody it was a detour. Hallelujah. That was a divine detour for the homeless. Hey, hey. That wasn't a good detour for the missionaries, because they had to get out of their bed and go in the trenches looking for them. But for the homeless people, that was a divine detour for them. Tell somebody that's missionary work. Tell somebody that's ministry. I sat there and I couldn't stand it anymore. I'm sitting in a warm home and knowing that it's freezing outside. Where were you all Wednesday night? Under the covers? Under the blankets? God has detoured this church. God has detoured this ministry. We are now becoming an outreach. Evangelistic ministry that I can't even rest until folk are having and needing. That is a detour from where we started. But I come to tell you that if you're going to be a leader in this church, you're not going to be a leader by name only. You're going to have to get off your rusty dusty and go out and start giving food and socks and reading the word to people. Tell somebody a divine detour. Hallelujah. People were cold and they had big smiles on their faces when they were giving blankets and making them warm. They were grinning. It just made my heart so good. Hallelujah. Thank you all for a divine detour for the homeless. But in this chapter of Acts, in the 8th chapter, we find Philip, a deacon and a traveling evangelist. He's in the Lord's, tell somebody in the Lord's church. He's in a very successful ministry. in Samaria. People's lives were getting changed, and they were getting baptized in the name of Jesus. And he was teaching kingdom living. Miracles and signs were being done. And this was a big deal for Samaria because the Jews were not even feeling them like that, if you know what I mean. But Jesus had gone there in the past, and he started a work there in Samaria. But somebody had to finish it. So here we have Philip that the Lord has appointed to go there and do this work of ministry. He came there to nurture and feed these people so that they could grow. Let me tell you something. I don't care how much you read the Word of God, if you don't come around it and hear somebody explain it to you the right way, you are not going to grow. Because what you're doing is just reading some words. If you're reading and don't understand what you're reading, it's just like not reading at all. I was trying to look at the book in my car about how to set the garage alarm. And I'm reading this. It meant nothing to me. Because I wasn't understanding how to set the alarm. So they gave me a 1-800 number to call the number. And what they will do is walk you through it. Do y'all hear me? Uh-huh. Somebody can tell you, okay, you saved now. Here's the Bible. Go home. No, you need to come back so that you can be taught, so that somebody can nurture you, so that's why you ought to come to Bible study. On Bible study night, if you really want to know something, then you can come and raise your hand and say, what does that mean? There's enough ministers in here that ought to be able to tell you what that meant. So anyway, the Lord has started this work in Samaria, and Philip was down there nurturing and feeding the word to them. The ministry was so great that Peter and John came to Samaria where he was. And they wanted to make sure that the Samaritans received the Holy Ghost. That was the other thing. They were getting word. But don't you know, even with the word, you need the Holy Ghost. You need the Holy Ghost to keep you in place. You need the Holy Ghost to stop you from doing what you would ordinarily do. Let me tell you something. Life is not that easy when somebody says to you, you are saved now, go home. I did a seminar called I'm Saved, Now What? Now what? It's more to just reading it and getting understanding and receiving what God has for you. Amen. Because we need the Holy Ghost to keep us from falling. So just when Philip was about to move on to another great service in Jerusalem, he was through there and he was going to go to Jerusalem. He was like, I'm excited. Thousands have come. Now I'm getting ready to go to Jerusalem, and now I'm getting ready to preach to some more thousands. When all of a sudden, here comes an angel. Tell somebody, just stop the plan. The angel came, a detour, and said, you're not going to Jerusalem. The Lord said that you're going to Gaza. You're not going to be down there preaching to hundreds of thousands like you thought you were. Somebody would have resented the assignment because Gaza is in the desert. Nobody is in the desert. It's hot. There's alone. And all you got is tumbleweed. But the desert, I can hear Philip saying the desert. There was no murmuring. There was no complaining. And he went. Tell somebody he went. When you don't even understand why God has interrupted your plan, you just have to go anyway. If you know it's God, then go. You know his voice. You know when God is sending you. Amen. You don't have to pick up the phone and call somebody and say, do y'all think? No, when it's God, it's God. When God told me to move to North Carolina, I knew it was God. I didn't let nobody stop me from packing up. I was packing up, getting ready to go. So Philip went. He may have even felt like he was demoted. Now here I've been preaching to hundreds of thousands. And now I'm going to the desert where there's nobody. Many preachers don't want to preach if they're not preaching to thousands. And they don't want to go to a little church. If it ain't 500,000 members, they ain't going to preach there. They're just not going to go. But how many know that it may not be the 500,000 he wants you to talk to? It might be just one person in that one church that needs you that day. Hallelujah. Yeah, he may have felt like he was getting a slap on the hand. I'm preaching well to crowds. People are getting set free. They're getting delivered. Now you're going to divert me to a desert? But nevertheless, he went. And this does not make sense, but in the end, it will work out. So when we are in the desert, death could occur. When you're in a desert, there's no water, there's nothing, you could die. Tell somebody, I've been in the desert before. I felt like I was going to die. There's no signs of hydration, no signs of life. There's no flowers in the desert. I feel like I'm out here all by myself. Boy, I'm in a bad place in this desert. Oh, my, my, my. They call it being depressed. But you're in your desert season. Hallelujah. The only thing you see is mirages. I see it, but when I reach for it, it's not there. And I've been in the desert and find myself begging to just put me in the wilderness. I'd rather be in the wilderness than be in the desert. Why? Because at least there's some greenery there. I can get a little drink of water if I need to in the wilderness. But in the desert, there's nothing. I tell you today, don't despise that dry place. Don't despise it, because your place of brokenness could also be your place of survival. And you know why? Because if you can survive that broken place, then you can pull somebody else out. You can pull somebody out of a broken place if you've never been in the place yourself. But don't you know that God don't leave you there all the time? You'll be there for just a little bit, just long enough so that you can be a witness to somebody else. That's why I love the song, I'm So Glad. Trouble don't last always. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It did not take long for Philip to come upon what the Lord wanted him to encounter. All you have to do is just go. When God gives you an order, it won't take you long to see why he wanted you to go there. It didn't take me long to find out why he sent me to North Carolina. I loved New York. I loved everything about New York. I loved getting off in the evenings. I loved meeting my friends in Manhattan. I loved going to a play after work. I loved it. It was everything that I wanted. But when God said, move, I didn't understand it. But now I know that there are some people sitting here right now that may not have found salvation had it not been for life-changing church. Some people may not have even had a life-changing experience. Hallelujah. And I want to thank you, God, for sending me. I thank you right now, God, for sending me to this place, God. Glory to God. He wasn't there long, for there's a reason that God sends us to the desert. Philip went with expectation. He went knowing that there had to be a reason why the Lord sent him to this desert place. And then it happened. Tell somebody it happened. He saw this Ethiopian eunuch with the queen of the Ethiopians, whose name was Candace. He was sitting, the Bible says, in a chariot reading about the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit sent Philip closer. And the Bible said that Philip ran to the chariot. You know, when you got a burning inside of you and you see somebody with the word of God, you may not know how to approach them. You know, you want to go and talk to them, but you don't want them to feel some kind of way. Amen. But the Bible says he ran over to the chariot where he was sitting. And he said, he asked the eunuch, he said, I see you reading. Do you understand what you're reading? And so here's the eunuch's response. He looks at Philip and he says, how can I know when I don't have anybody to teach me? I need somebody to guide me through this. And there are going to be those who do not want to be guided. And you're going to run to them and want to tell them about the word of God. You're going to want to tell them about Jesus. However, don't stand there if they don't want you to tell them. There's others that want to be told. There are others that want to be guided. There are others that want to be told, how do I get my life together? There are others that want to say, how do I give up alcohol? There are going to be others that want to say, how can I love somebody that does not love me? There are going to be those that's going to say, how can I forgive somebody when they walked all over me? Just run to them. You can come up close. Tell them simply, it's not hard to love. Jesus is love. Just have Jesus and you'll know what love is. So here the eunuch invites Philip up into the chariot. The scripture says that the eunuch is reading it so explicitly. He says he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a dumb lamb before his shearer, so open he not his mouth. That's a lot of stuff to hear. You don't understand who the lamb is. You're not going to know who he's talking about. And then he says, he was led as a sheep. We know that sheep are dumb animals. And he's like, well, this was a man, but he's talking about a sheep. I need somebody to explain this to me. Some of you are sitting here right now waiting to hear what this is all about. Am I right about it? And the eunuch asked Philip, he said, who is this man that he's speaking about? He says, is it he himself or is it someone else? Oh, somebody's asking right now, who is this man called Jesus? I keep hearing his name. I keep hearing about him, but I really don't know him. Who is this man Jesus? Kingdom greetings, saints. This is Overseer Dorothy McGuire, senior pastor of Life Changing Church here in Charlotte, North Carolina. I want to personally thank you for tuning into the broadcast every Sunday morning at 6:30 a.m. and online every Saturday at 9:30 a.m. on praise100.com. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you and you would like to purchase a copy of this sermon in its entirety or seed into this radio ministry, please send your request and or donation to Life Changing Church Radio Ministry, 3208 Riley Avenue, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28269. And if you are new to the city and looking for a life-changing experience, we invite you to visit with us for our 9:30 Sunday school and our 11 a.m. worship service, and on Tuesday evenings at 7 p.m. for our dynamic Bible study. So until the next time, be blessed, and again, thank you for listening.
Are you ready to renew your mind?